Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a contemporary romance author, and my family and I have just recently moved to Vermont, which has been quite an experience. We are now living kind of up on a mountain, kind of far from, I've always lived in the suburbs. So this has been a big culture shock for me. As for my books, I write contemporary sapphic romance. I love to bring all the feels in my books. So, yeah. And lots of pets as well.
I love this. So we got to talk about Vermont. What made you decide to move to Vermont? And like, what has been the most shocking or the most like something that's like so Vermont-y other than Ben and Jerry's and, you know?
We moved here. My family wanted to be able to snowboard. However, I'm not super into the winter sports, but my sister lives here.
Yeah.
So for the first time in our adult lives, we're living in the same town. And that is amazing.
Yes.
That's been amazing. The most Vermont thing I would say, I feel like that, that heroine in the opening of a small town contemporary romance when they moved to that small town and they're like, what do you mean? There's only one store. Like there's no Target here. There's no Target. There's no Barnes and Noble. There's no Whole Foods. Anything that I depended on. Amazon Prime takes like 5 days to a week to deliver.
Yeah.
Like, we really have to plan ahead. We really have to drive 30 minutes to the grocery store, which means I can't, you know, I have to plan ahead on meals and stuff, or we just don't have the food.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's been a huge adjustment.
That sounds like a huge adjustment. Like, it's a weird thing. Cause I'm like, I adjusted to, I was in New York City. So I was like a big city girl and, you know, we had like our access to all different things and I moved to Florida. And I don't have a car, so I have to plan everything ahead. But every time I go to Puerto Rico, like Amazon doesn't, like we don't, Puerto Rico has like different things, like, but it's the same, like it doesn't have, Amazon takes 2 weeks and it's like the whole process. And it's like my parents.
You don't realize how much you depend on quick delivery and just being able to run out and grab something until you don't have it.
DoorDash or have like,
you know. That is not a thing here.
Yeah, you're just like, it's a small town living, you know, it's a culture shock. But at the same time, it can be like, it's a slower pace of living and allows you to be more intentional about, you know, things.
Yeah. So. And I, you know, we have beautiful views on our windows. You know, we're on a mountain here. Yeah. So the nature and everything is really amazing. And having my sister down the street is really amazing. But it's been an adjustment.
I can imagine. Well, I'm sending you happy thoughts.
Thank you.
So let's talk about like your writing. Like you write sapphic romances. Was that intentional or was it something you stumbled upon? You're like, you know, I really love, we need more representation. Yes, we do. But also like it's something that you enjoy writing and enjoy like seeing this couple's like queer joy. You know?
Yes. So I actually started out writing male-female romance when I was first published. And then I would say I probably discovered sapphic romance, but it was part of my own coming out process. Mm-hmm. I started reading these books and I fell in love with the genre and I became obsessed with all things sapphic romance. I came in first through fan fiction and then published books. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can try writing one of these. I don't know. It was very scary, but I did. And it was like, I was like, yep, this is what I'm meant to be writing.
Yeah.
Like it helped me, it kind of helped me rediscover my love of writing at a time when I was kind of struggling in my career. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good to hear. And I love the fact that you're just bringing something, you know, now that it's like bringing joy, you know, because you're not talking about trauma. You're talking about characters falling in love. And yeah, you put them through the ringer, but they're actually, it's a joyful experience. You know?
Yes.
But, you know, as we were going through, like, you know, I live in Florida, and so a lot of books are getting banned and a lot of, like, rights are being taken away. It's sometimes it's like books actually give the reader, you know, an experience and give them, like,
It can be a safe place because, you know, in a romance, you know, they're going to get their happy ending no matter what they go through on the page on the way there. So.
Yeah, I think it's like it's a safe space to see, and it gives you hope, you know. You're like, oh, like this is a healthy relationship.
It doesn't have to be
just toxic, full of red flags.
I think, you know, romance novels are just, you know, life goals, you know,
So let's chat about Stars Collide. What is the elevator pitch?
So Stars Collide is a grumpy sunshine sapphic celebrity romance between a young up-and-coming pop star with a very bubbly, very queer brand and a reserved legend of pop music who's become very lonely and kind of jaded after 20 years of stardom. And she has never had much passion in her relationships. She's always thought she was straight, but she has never had much passion in her relationships, and she didn't really understand why. So when these two pop stars are teamed up together for a Grammy duet, kind of rocks both of their worlds for very different ways.
So what was your research process of writing celebrity romance? Because I'm always curious. Are you like partaking in like the gossip world, like, you know, the wine items?
Well, I am a lifelong fangirl and a lifelong lover of pop music. I have been to, you know, too many concerts to count. I have worked as the event staff there, you know, the people in the event staff t-shirts. So I've worked backstage. I've just, you know, anytime celebrities do, I've always just been really fascinated by, and not that I truly know what it's like to be a superstar, but I've always been fascinated by what it's like for them. And what I think with a lot of these superstars, and especially pop stars, like we hold them to these almost like impossible levels of perfection, which always just makes me really want to know, like, what is the person behind the image really like? And what is, you know, what do they really want? And are they able to really portray themselves to the world the way, you know, what they really think and feel and want? I know I'm super drawn to those stories. So, so I think that was kind of my inspiration for Stars Collide.
I love this. Yeah. I love like pop music, and I, you know, it's like, it's a fun experience. And like sometimes, and you have to think about what the celebrity looks like, you know, what the cost of fame, looks like, you know, and it has like just higher stakes, especially in romance. It's like, it gives you a higher stakes of conflict. Because you're not only dealing with a relationship, but you're also dealing with the public persona and like what the expectations, and then the team that they're behind it, and the expectations of what you're supposed to be doing, you know?
Yes. So, and just that feeling of that, you know, anything you do or say, what you wear, who you walk down the street with, you know, all of that can be, you know, photographed and presented to people, or, you know, present, you know, they may misinterpret what's going on, or, you know, it's just, it's a really fun thing to play with in a celebrity romance, I think.
I love this. All right. So let's talk some books. What kind of books do you tend to read?
Oh, so as you may have guessed from our conversation so far, sapphic romance is my jam. You said we could pick a theme with our book recommendations, and that is my theme, sapphic romance. Because it's just, I love it so much, and I love helping other readers discover the genre if they've never read a sapphic book before, or maybe they've only picked up one or two. There's just so many amazing books out there, and I could talk about them forever. So.
So do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes. So One of my recommendations is The Fixer and Chaos Agent by Lee Winter. It's two books, but they're at one continuing romance. It was just too long to fit into one book. These books are the ultimate in the redeeming the villain trope. Mm-hmm. I mean, the heroine, Michelle Hastings, she was a villain in another book by Lee Winter, and she was really a villain. Like, I wasn't sure if I could love her in a story because I had hated her so much before. But once I got her backstory, yeah, I was all in. Really good. Lee Winter just writes these incredibly intelligent, competent, like fully fleshed out three-dimensional dynamic characters that you just really swoon for. Like, I just feel like every word in her books is just so compelling. So I recommend anything by her. Another book that I recommend is Destination You by J.J. Arias, which it kind of starts out as a wish fulfillment type thing. One of the younger heroine, Taylor, meets the teacher that she had a crush on in high school at the class reunion. So it's got a little bit of that forbidden, like, age gap teacher student, but because they're both adults now, it's not actually forbidden anymore. It's just like, it's still kind of that vibe of like that teacher that you had a crush on when you were in high school, and now you're both adults and could you, you know? So it starts out as kind of very wish fulfillment, but it actually is a very like touching and romantic story. So I really recommend that one. I have Chef's Kiss by Stephanie Shea. Mm-hmm. Is set in a Michelin-starred restaurant in San Francisco. It's got a little bit of an age gap, a little bit of that boss employee. We've got the owner and the new chef. Just a really swoony, feel-good romance. And my final recommendation is Detour to Love by Amanda Radley, mm-hmm. which has the two heroines meeting on a flight to Japan. It's definitely not love at first sight. They're very different people. One of them is on her way to meet someone that she's been kind of dating online, and she thinks she's meeting like a potential future love of her life, which is not the other heroine on the flight. It was a very different take on that storyline than I had ever read before. And it was just really interesting, and I really enjoyed how it played out. So that was a really interesting story. So
I love all these recommendations so much. Like, they're all brand new, and they're brand new to me. So I'm like, oh my gosh.
Oh, and one more that I missed. In the Shadow of the Past by J.E. Leake. This is a series that is about sapphic, it's female spies in World War II. And it's a sapphic romance. And I just thought it was so unique. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, just to read a book about female spies during World War II, because mm-hmm. that's not a story that you often see told. And to have a sapphic love story in there as well, like, super, super unique and compelling. In The Shadow of the Past by J.E. Leake.
Love these. Love all these recommendations. So, Rachel, tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me pretty much anywhere. My website is rachellacey.com. And that's got links to all my socials. You can find me on most social media platforms. I'm at Rachel S. Lacey. And I also have a Facebook reader group where I do lots of exclusive giveaways and goodies. And the members there get to name almost all the pets in my books. So if that sounds fun to you, maybe join my reader group.
I love this. Oh, you're giving the readers the power to name characters.
It's so fun. And they end up coming up with names that I wouldn't have thought of. And sometimes that can kind of like influence who the pet is, like their personality a little bit. So yeah. I love that.
Oh, I love this. Thank you, Rachel, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyournextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.